Look, here's the thing. If you want to feel great, first, stop listening to CNN. The second thing is you should try something that's 100% drug-free. The four key ingredients help your body fight inflation, and that's what causes our pain. It's Relief Factor. Works for me, and it puts me in a great muse, great mood until I listen to CNN. ReliefFactor.com. Go there now. ReliefFactor.com. Great show on the way.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I can only hope that the left continues to move left, that the Democrats just continue to do this, because it will be over. They are eating their own. The president. Oh, this is one day. This is one of those days where anybody who voted for Trump, thank you. Thank you. Today is a day that I say thank you, because today is a day he is doing something that I not only agree with, I champion. We're going to start with sanctuary cities and Donald Trump's idea on how to take care of all those people we're just supposed to release into America. We do that beginning in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Stu, you know when their Black Friday sale is happening at Blinds.com? Today.
Wait. It's not Black Friday.
It's Monday. But it's Black Monday. But they're calling it a Black Friday sale. I don't know why, but it's today. So don't confuse Black Friday with Black Monday.
So now's the time to get the blinds.
In fact, it's the last day. It started on Friday. That's why. But it ends today. Tax day. It's a Black Monday. Last day to get 45% off of everything, plus an additional 5% off with promo code Beck. If you've been thinking about getting any kind of window shade, shutters, drapes, blinds, anything, now is the day to do it. 15 million windows covered, 30,000 five-star customer reviews. This is the day. It ends today. 45% off everything, plus an additional 5% off. Last day today. If you use the promo code Beck, you're going to get that deal. Promo code Beck at Blinds.com. 45% off everything, plus an additional 5% off with promo code BECK. It's Blinds.com. Today's the last day. I'm actually in a very good mood today. How are you, Stu?
I am fabulous, Glenn.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel good today.
Usually a dangerous thing.
Well,
usually when you feel good, I have to deal with PR nightmares for the next 6 weeks.
Well, either you say that when I feel really bad, too.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I wonder what we're learning here.
So here's the thing. Donald Trump, today is the day that I love Donald Trump being the president of the United States, because no one else would have the balls to do this. He came out and said, okay, so you won't help us out on the border. You don't think it's a problem, but everybody else in America seems to think it's a problem, but you don't. In fact, you've got your sanctuary cities. So I tell you what we're going to do. We got all these people that you just say release into America. What we're going to do instead is we're going to transport them to your sanctuary city, and we'll just drop them off in your city. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm interested in this because I heard it's a radical proposal. He's out of control. You know, at first they just said it was something that was floated, and that was bad enough. But now the president's really, really considering it.
Why is this bad?
And I want someone to ask, what is the negative? Explain to me what the negative is. The only one I've heard is it's going to cost more, which doesn't make any sense to me at all, because there's sanctuary cities around every border in America. So you can just go to a close one. You don't have to go to San Francisco. That could be an option.
Potentially. No, I hope it is an option.
See, that's the thing. It's like this is being treated as a troll, right, by the president of the United States. He's trolling them. And the trolling part, as you pointed out,
It's great really fun. And in fact, I'm going to up the ante. I don't think it's troll enough, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I got to say, the trolling part of it is my least favorite part of this proposal. Listen to it, for example. let me give you my case. How is this bad for the cities, the sanctuary cities? Because I hear, you know, all these left-wing people coming out and saying, well, we can't bring all these people here. We can't even care for our own. I think it was Cher.
It was said, Cher.
Yeah.
Cher.
She's like, we can't even care for our own here in California. You can't bring more people here.
Wait
a minute. That's our argument, stupid.
Yes. I don't understand how they actually get out and tie their own shoes and make it in the world.
Yeah, they obviously have not thought these things through at all.
If that is your argument, you're on the wrong side.
Exactly. And maybe it's so fundamental to their belief that the real reason we don't want illegal immigrants here is because we're racists. Like, maybe that's what they actually believe. I've always thought that was just a dumb political tactic. Maybe that's what they actually believe. Because if you think the only reason we don't want people here is because we don't like Mexicans, well, then you're an idiot. I mean, we're happy to bring legal Mexican immigrants into this country. Happy to do it. The question here is whether we can take care of people who are illegal. So if you are saying that it's bad, it's a punishment essentially for these cities to get these illegal immigrants, you are admitting a foundational part of our argument. And if it's not true, well, then you're going to be happy. It's not a punishment, so you're not worried on the city side. How about for the immigrants? Is it bad for the immigrants? Well, you tell us all the time that the sanctuary cities are the only people treating them fairly. You tell us that the cities that are sanctuary cities are welcoming with open arms these people and are treating them better than the other places. Mm-hmm. So shouldn't it be, if we're going to be nice to illegal immigrants or people trying to claim asylum, that we should bring them to the cities that you identify as the only places they can be treated fairly in the United States?
Yes.
Isn't that good for immigrants?
Yes.
So now we found it's good for cities and it's good for the immigrants. What about the border towns themselves? The border towns that are not sanctuary cities. What about the cities that they're going to, these illegal immigrants or asylum seekers are going to now that are not sanctuary cities? The people who do want to enforce our immigration laws and are instead forced to take thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants that they aren't welcoming with open arms. Is it fair to them?
No, it's not fair to them, and it's not fair to the immigrants either. These undocumented immigrants, because these are dangerous cities for them, because they're not welcomed like they are with open arms in places like San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York and even Austin, Texas. You've got open arms. You're saying, come here. What is the point of saying you're a sanctuary city? Because you're saying open arms. Hey, this is the place. If you're looking for sanctuary, nobody ever, Esmeralda didn't run into the House of the Hunchback, you know, because she's like, hey, I want some soda. Does anybody have any soda in here? No, she cried, sanctuary. You can't touch me. You can't take me out of here. You can't do anything. I'm safe here. That's why you have a sanctuary city. You're safe there. Every place it's not a sanctuary city, it's very unsafe. And as we've learned, nobody wants to feel unsafe. That's a safe zone for you. So we don't want to just let them come over to places that are not safe.
Exactly. The feelings are an important part of this, I think.
Yes.
And again, like, I think this can come off as a troll, but in reality.
No.
If it is, like, these cities are saying, we have the resources to deal with these people. We have the we have the open arms to deal with it. We have the type of people who will accept illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. You guys don't. Mm-hmm. We're better than you. Mm-hmm. We've decided to violate federal law to signal our virtue on this issue. Mm-hmm. We should reward that behavior.
I agree with you 110%.
And the only thing, in the article initially and since, the only thing they can come up with, there's two things. One is it's going to cost more. Mm. We don't have the money for this.
Hey, it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's...
Do not put a price on the right thing to do.
But you do have to put, as I would argue in many other cases, as would you, that Congress has the power of the purse and there has to be money associated with these types of things. You can't just create money. You can't just print money to do this, right? So I look, the government doesn't care about this, but I do.
There are so many. Stu,
mm-hmm.
How dare you? This, what will it cost us not to do this?
See, again, you're just trolling.
No.
I'm saying this is a legitimate proposal.
I say, let's take them up on their offer.
Sure, I understand that. But like, so I'm listening to...
By the way, I don't want to just troll. In a minute, I'm going to tell you how I want this actually executed. I don't want to just troll. I sincerely want this to happen.
I'm with you on this. I mean, this is a really good idea.
You know what? Mm-hmm. This program, I believe, if they say there's no money for buses, I believe this audience will raise the money... to bus these people to sanctuary cities.
It's funny. I had the same thought. I'm like, okay, well, they're on a bus. They'll be on the bus a little bit longer. Will there be more associated cost? I guess. But first of all, they're close by. They keep talking about San Francisco. That would take a long time. But Glenn, according to at least ABC News, they're flying people to these cities. They're in planes at $7,000 an hour. That they're flying people to these cities. And they're like, well, if they have to fly them a little bit longer, it'll cost more. Flying them? How is that even a thought? Like, if they're going to Indiana, mm-hmm. they can get on a Greyhound bus mm-hmm. and go to Indiana mm-hmm. if that's where they're supposed mm-hmm. to be sent. And that's the other thing here is that...
Greyhound bus? I say we just get some yellow school buses.
Whatever. The point, though, is that the idea that if we can't hold them in our facilities, which, mm-hmm. by the way, Republicans mm-hmm. have asked for additional facilities mm-hmm. have been rejected mm-hmm. by Democrats. Mm-hmm. Very important mm-hmm. to remember. Mm-hmm. So if you can't, mm-hmm. you have to put them somewhere inside the United States. Mm-hmm. Why mm-hmm. would you not give them mm-hmm. to the people who say they want them?
Exactly right.
That is a good
option. Exactly right.
And you can do it, by the way. There are border towns. There are places all across the border that are sanctuary cities.
Preach it,
you
brother.
Don't have to go to San Francisco or mm-hmm. somewhere in Alaska.
Yes.
You can bring them to the closest
Amen.
One and certainly
Amen.
Save money
Amen.
Over flights with a bus.
Preach it. Now, may I tell you how I would like to see this unfold?
I would love to hear it because I'm in. I'm in.
I will do that in 1 minute.
Our sponsor this half hour is Field of Greens. You know, as Glenn, America's greatest father, I have...
Thank you. Me?
No, I'm sorry. I was talking about myself.
Oh, George Washington.
No, not the father of our country, which you could also, after that last proposal, I think we could both be considered
fathers of our country. Yes, I think so. I think so, yes.
Okay. But my kids, like, for breakfast, they're big into oatmeal and yogurt and mm-hmm, things like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And broccoli. They love having broccoli and kale.
No.
And all sorts of actually, they love their fruits and vegetables for breakfast. Mm-hmm. They don't know that they love them because of Field of Greens.
Really?
You see, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. A little oatmeal. You just mix in a little Field of Greens in there when you're preparing it. They have no idea. Mm. And now I don't have to hear them whining when I put it on their plate and they say, I don't want to eat that. Oh, really? Well, you've already eaten it. You don't even know. And that's the thing. That's how smart parents think.
Okay? Really?
You manipulate.
So smart parents are manipulating, brainwashing, uh-huh. and tricking.
Yes. Well, how do you think I got them to be Eagles fans?
Exactly
I've
right.
worked very hard at this. Field of Greens is made of real USDA organic fruits and vegetables and helps boost your immunity,
Amen.
Which is nice, especially with kids because they come home, you know, they drag home from school. God only knows what they're dragging
Keep
home.
Keep your snot in your nose.
They got antioxidants, prebiotics, probiotics, and once you've made part of, because this is my part of my daily routine, but also my kids, and they don't even know it, and you will get great results from this. Plus, you'll be doing all the things your mom told you to do a million years ago, you never did.
Have you ever thought of a world without Kleenex?
It's a difficult one.
Yes.
It is a difficult one, I will say.
How many people walked around with just like kids with yes, crusty no,
I know.
Snot
I,
on their
I,
face?
I got it.
That's the way Jon Snow looked like. I mean, in real life, uh-huh. Jon Snow had crusty snot on his cheeks.
I don't want to think about this anymore.
Telling you that's what happened.
All right, Brick House Nutrition is the company that makes this and makes your kid not come home like that.
All right.
BrickHouseGlenn.com is the place to go. You get 15% off with
Could
the offer
get to
code.
It? I've got a very important...
Can I finish? Let me at least give the number here. 833-RING-BHN for Brickhouse Nutrition. BHN. 833-RING-BHN. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. You got nothing to lose. BrickhouseGlenn.com or 833-RING-BHN.
We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. Now, I only give this idea to you because I think Donald Trump is the only man that would ever consider doing it. And I think he would love it. Which makes me very excited. So, Stu, what are you proposing? We just take these people onto a tarmac, put them onto a plane, and send them someplace, or just have them go to the Greyhound bus stop and then ship them off to wherever?
Well, I mean, we're doing that anyway. The question is, where is the wherever?
Okay. Do you remember the Berlin airlift?
Well, yeah.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
What was the Berlin airlift? People were starving over in Eastern Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Just brought them to safety. Right, brought
them
to.
No. The Berlin airlift. We take this is right after World War II, and the Soviets have East Germany. Mm-hmm. We have West Germany. Mm-hmm. They won't let anybody come over, and you know, and they have no food, and they're starving, and we've got lots, and so we say, you know what? They won't let us supply any food. Let's just airdrop it. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And we made a big deal out of it. It wasn't like, hey, we're just going to quietly in the night, just, you know.
No, it was a big deal. Yes. Okay.
Big deal.
Yeah.
So here's what I would like. I would like a fleet of school buses. Just, I mean, every district must, on executive order, must send at least two school buses down to the border. And we have a central area where everybody is getting into school buses.
Mm-hmm.
The president arrives on Air Force One. Then the president gets into the beast along with his, you know, 25 car caravan, and they lead the parade. And so Trump comes in leading all of these school buses into Los Angeles, and he just pops out of the car and he's like, Los Angeles, finally a sanctuary city where everyone can feel safe. These 500 buses are full of citizens that are yearning to breathe free. They are the poor, the tired, the wretched refuse from distant shores, and they are now all here for you.
Mm.
And then he gets back into the secure vehicle, and they open up all of the bus doors, and they just let them, they say, free, you're free, fly, fly, little birdies, you're free.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to the next city, and the president, maybe we have a marching band. Maybe we have skywriting. They're here, free. And I think the president needs to go from city to city, dropping these people off.
A tour. Yeah, this could be part of the. I like
it.
This
could be a very big campaign. Then he leaves the sanctuary city where he should be very popular because he's helping them.
Yeah, he'll probably win California after this.
Of course he would. Yeah. They would be saying, oh my gosh, finally we have some immigrants that we love. We love the illegals here. Our restaurants will be cheaper, but they won't be cheaper because everybody gets $15 an hour. And so there'll be plenty of labor to do all of the things that Americans just won't do in those sanctuary cities. There'll be all kinds of great things happening.
I'd say it's a blessing in disguise, but I don't see how it could be disguised. They've been asking for these things to happen for such a long time.
They've been telling us how great it is.
Yeah.
So I think the president needs to go. I literally mean, maybe not the Skywriters. I literally mean the president should be there when the buses roll in, and he should say, and you're welcome. And then just fly away to the next sanctuary, city where the buses are rolling in. And he can say, and you're welcome. Now, if you would like this to stop, which I don't understand, because you love this in sanctuary cities. This is what you've been asking for. Mm-hmm. So you're welcome. But here's my phone number. I'm going to give one of these guys my card. You call me up if you're in the city and just let me know if you'd like this to stop, because I can get more buses with more illegally undocumented heroes. And there's so many dreamers from all over the world, and we'd like you to have them. And if you'd like it to stop, let me know.
And I think they should all be given, you know, literature for the bus ride that just highlights all of the statements from the mayors of these cities saying mm-hmm. how much they're welcome mm-hmm. and how other places are hateful and you should never leave because other places will put you in the shadows. So unlike places like San Francisco and Chicago.
So here's what I'd like you to do today. I would like you, if you live in a sanctuary city or near a sanctuary city, I would like you to go look up the words of your mayor or the mayors around or the governors or anybody else that has said, sanctuary cities, you're welcome here. We want you here. I want you to look up all of those words, attach them to, please, the name of the mayor and the town. I think we need to nominate some of these great sanctuary cities. Who loves these guys more than anybody else?
Do we have time for the Chicago mayor? Or should we do it after the break, Sarah? We'll do it after the break. We have already the Chicago mayor-elect, who has some commentary on this very issue, and I think would be very
He's welcoming,
helpful.
Right?
She is, yes.
Oh, she?
I mean, obviously, you're a hate-mongering misogynist, so you would think it was a male.
When did we allow women to be mayors?
Apparently, it's still happening. We need to amend that constitution.
Next thing you know, they'll be doctors.
You're listening.
I have terrible news for you, Glenn.
They're astronauts. My goodness. All right. Our sponsor this half hour, we want to talk to you a little bit about cybersecurity and LifeLock. LifeLock will detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number on sale for the dark web. You know, the dark web, it's not so dark. I mean, if you don't mind murder, you know, and
or if you do like murder, you can buy it there. You can buy hitmen.
Why do that when you can just go to your closest sanctuary city sometime soon?
Ah, yes. It's available labor.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, here's the thing. Right now, your records are circulating all over. There's not even a question of if this has already happened to you. It's going to happen. It's already out. Now, whether they have sold it to the right person that is going to do something about it yet, I don't know. But LifeLock does. They can uncover the threats that you might miss on your own. Now, nobody can prevent all identity threats or monitor all transactions at all business. But right now, LifeLock will give you 10% off your first year by using the promo code BECK. 800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com. Promo code BECK.
We got a big show on Joe Biden tonight. Part two of the exposé. You got to check it out. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn.
You know what's great about today? The Glenn Beck program has Mr. Pat Gray on. Hello, Pat. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Glenn.
So,
isn't that great? It's great, right?
It is great.
It is great.
It is great. And you know what's mm-hmm. so great about not only the Glenn Beck program having Pat Gray on, mm-hmm. we also have Stu here, and we're going to talk about how we can make these sanctuary cities very happy.
Right. And that's,
very happy.
I'm all about that.
I am
all about it,
too.
I think they're going to be thrilled. I know Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot of Chicago is going to be incredibly happy.
Gordon's mom, Gordon's sister.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Half-sister. Mm-hmm. This is Lori talking about what she wants to do with Chicago and illegal immigrants. Listen.
I don't think that we should take the bait every time the president puts out a provocative tweet. What I think we need to do is make sure that we are being very clear in speaking our values. We are a city that is a sanctuary city. We have immigrants from all over the world who call Chicago their home. They'll continue to do that, and we're going to continue to make sure that this is truly a welcoming community for those immigrants, and we want them to come to the city of Chicago.
Lori,
hallelujah.
Lori, as you just said, we're a sanctuary city.
What happened to your voice? What's going on?
As Lori just said, they're a sanctuary city, and they are. They want immigrants from all over the world.
I mean, is she lying? Mm-hmm. She said they want to be a truly welcoming community.
Right.
That's wonderful.
I think we start in Chicago. And here's the great thing, America. This sounds like a bit. This sounds like something we would have said 15 years ago, and there was no chance of this happening. I think this president will do it.
That's what I love about this. He would.
He would.
He would do this.
He would. He's got a twitchy eye.
He is
a horse in a hospital.
It's why he was elected. It really is.
It is. It is.
We wondered the whole time. We know now. This is why he was elected, because
He
would do something like this.
Yeah.
Well, it was his plan to ship them to sanctuary cities, which I thought, that's genius. George W. Bush would never have done that.
No president would have ever done that.
Never.
Here's the thing. It won't work unless it's a production. It will not work unless you have plane loads arriving all at the same time.
Planes, buses.
Yeah, you've got trains. It has to be an overwhelming city. And I think an overwhelming scene for one city. And I think you do it to one city and they stop.
So it'd be so hard to pick, though, because you got Chicago mouthing off.
Wait. Chicago is where it started. Remember last week we showed you that the sanctuary city movement started in Chicago.
Oh, that was the first one?
We drop them off at that church.
At that exact address where 19 charitable organizations mysteriously have their home base.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes sense. Chicago's the one. The only thing about Chicago is there, because, I mean, there's a part of this, again, that's a troll, right? Where, and that's what everyone's talking about, in that it probably is the type of thing that you want to make a big production about and let everybody know. Chicago is a big enough city that it is.
It can absorb
a lot more. That may be why they were looking at small and mid-sized cities rather than the large ones.
Along those lines is Cambridge, Mass. Their mayor just talked about this over the weekend. Mark McGovern of Cambridge said, "I'm proud Cambridge is a sanctuary city. Trump is a schoolyard bully who tries to intimidate and threaten people. I'm not intimidated.
Oh,
and if asylum seekers find their way to Cambridge, we'll welcome them." I'd love to put that to the test.
A great one.
Here's 78,000 from the last month. Good luck.
Yeah, I think, too, the other thing I'd about that is I like the idea of targeting not a city like Chicago that is absolutely struggling and can't even do things for themselves. Pick a nice, rich community.
Cambridge,
Massachusetts is a fantastic one. They got plenty of money.
Is the average salary?
Oh yeah, this is like you're talking about. This is the wealthiest nation on earth, Pat. Of course, we can help these immigrants.
Absolutely,
this is one of the wealthiest cities in the wealthiest nation on
earth. MIT is there.
MIT will probably open the doors just admit them into college. That's what I think is going to happen.
You don't even have to qualify.
Free college tuition at Harvard. I think Harvard, if they overwhelmed the city in any way, I think Harvard would open their gym doors.
Yeah, and 100%. Have them housed there. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
Because they're really nice.
Well, and they've got an endowment, I don't know if you're aware of, $39.5 billion. Now, they could take every single one of these illegals and give them free college education for the next 50 years with that tuition, probably. Just apply it to educating illegals who come to Cambridge to live in your sanctuary city. That'd be awesome. I love this.
And you know what's going to happen in Cambridge? As we've been told over and over again, the crime rates are going to fall. They're going to drop through the floor because, as we know, immigrants' crime rates are lower.
They're lower
than citizens.
Here's the thing. Truth is no longer verifiable. We've taken the search for truth and disconnected it from all kinds of science and reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Truth just becomes something that someone says, and then someone else, equally as important or more important, repeats it. And then after so many people repeat it, it becomes true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we know if sanctuary cities had more people coming into them, the crime rate would, of course, fall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And so they tell us.
Right. So let's just put it to the test. Pat Gray, are you willing to say you were wrong if, indeed, we put 78,000 people in Cambridge and the crime rate does indeed fall? Are you willing to say you were wrong?
Yes.
Are you willing, Stu?
I think I am. Yeah.
I am, mm-hmm. too. If all of a sudden Cambridge just becomes this paradise, okay, we mm-hmm. were wrong.
Mm-hmm. 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 If property values go up, crime goes down, salaries go up, employment is better. I'll happily admit I was wrong.
I was wrong.
Yeah, it was.
I was wrong. I'll change.
It worked out really
I'll
well.
I'll change sides.
Yeah,
I'll change sides on this, but don't think it's going to happen. But you do now. Put your money. Put your town. Put your neighborhood. Put your tax dollars where your big fat mouth is, because you forced us to do it. You forced us to do it. We are all putting our tax dollars into something we don't believe in. We're forced to do it. If we live near a sanctuary city, if we live, God forbid, near the border, we're all suffering from it. You in Cambridge, no, not so much.
Well, it's 7.6% Hispanic there. And about 70% white there.
Oh, my gosh. You know what the problem is?
There's too much diversity
in
Cambridge.
No, the problem is they don't have enough diversity.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's
Irving, Texas is 25, 25, 25.
Let's take a bunch of people who don't speak English,
mm-hmm.
that have no intention of becoming an American, that just want their culture,
mm-hmm.
and let's drop them in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if anyone in Cambridge would start to say, oh, this place has become
crazy. It's just
crazy.
Getting better.
It's
what that, isn't that what they'll say?
Of course they will.
They will.
But I'm wondering if anyone would say, Jesus, like we're losing what we were.
You know what a lot of people do on vacation?
Certainly not.
Glenn,
right.
When you got a nice vacation with a family, you want to enjoy the great outdoors with your family, you go camping. Well, they would love a tent city in Cambridge. I think they would love a bunch of tents popping up all over the city for people to live.
Where you don't even have to go out of the city for camping.
It's right there for you.
And you know, you're talking about camping. Another place to do it is Portland, Oregon.
Oh, no, people
true.
Love that. Yeah, people love the camping.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, mm-hmm. those guys, you want to talk about hearts.
They camped out for a long time there.
Yeah, and they've got big, 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 big hearts in Portland, Oregon. They mm-hmm. would love to take care of, you know, 150,000.
Well, they would. They tried to shut down ICE completely.
Right, so we should send them there. And because they've got big hearts, they can take care of everything. The city is totally in control. Let's just drop 100,000 people into their population, see what happens.
I mean, maybe we could even give, you know what? The left is so pro-choice. They always are. We can give the each illegal immigrant a choice. Do you want to go to City A that the mayor says this, or City B where the mayor says this? And we can have put them side by side and say, which one would you rather go to? And you know what? I bet a lot of them are going to pick the place that says specifically that they're a welcoming community to illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
The people who say that, you know, we bring them here. We want them here.
Yeah, one city mm-hmm. is fighting to abolish ICE. One city will not work with federal enforcement. Mm-hmm. One city will not arrest you. One city will not ask you any questions at all. Mm-hmm. And if you are stopped with drunk driving, don't worry about it. Don't worry.
We all have a few on the way home from work.
That's right.
That's the way it works.
Well, that's right.
Not American citizens, because they go to jail.
Well, but
if you're not from here, then it's fine.
Yeah.
And we'll just let you go.
Right. I mean, what do you think? We're talking about hate mongers?
No.
Okay. No. So you have that, or you have a DWI. You're not only in jail, then you're deported.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
the
not fair.
And the mayor and the city and the police and everybody else, they're all committed. In fact, they look at ICE as a partnership. Which city do you want to go to?
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to Portland.
Oh, it's all about Portland. You're about Cambridge, you're about Chicago.
Los Angeles.
And these are good places to go. Chicago started the movement, right? They started the Sanctuary City movement, they started the Caravan movement. San Francisco's got Nancy Pelosi's district right there, and we know she loves them.
What if you just drop them off at Nancy Pelosi's house? Certainly she'd be excited about that, wouldn't she? She'd love that.
Well, there's a giant wall around her house, though.
Oh, shoot. That'd
be hard.
Walls don't work.
In fact, they're immoral.
They won't work in this case, because if they want to get out, they'll get over that wall if they want to.
I'm telling you, warning, America. Warning. I've kind of come to a place in the last year where I've realized, you know what? My job is not to provide answers. It's really not, because I got none. My job is to warn you. That's my job. I'm on the gate. I can see a little over the horizon. My job is just to warn you. So listen to my warning. Heed it. Don't heed it. My hands are clean. I'm warning you now. There is going to be such a struggle on our border that the western half of America, at some point, you will have farmers, ranchers being slaughtered, and you will have people claiming this is their land and no longer part of the United States. It was stolen from them and they want it. Warning, if you continue going down this road, that is what will happen. These are not just all wonderful people that are coming over. You don't know. Would you say everyone in Seattle is a wonderful person? Pick the whitest white city in the U.S., whatever that city is. Would you say everybody in that city is great?
Of course not.
Of course not. Of course not. You are letting hundreds of thousands of people in. You have no idea who any of them are. It's ridiculous to think that some do not have ill intent, are not running from the law, and not because they were just persecuted. It's ridiculous to think otherwise. Warning. All right. Blinds.com. Hey, Stu, have you heard they're having a sale?
Yes.
Today.
It's a big day.
Today's the day.
Mm-hmm.
Today's the day. Now, it started on Black Friday, on this Friday, this last Friday, and it's going through today, Black Monday. Why is it Black Monday, Stu?
Why is it Black Monday? I don't know the answer to that question.
Tax day.
Okay, yeah.
It's tax day.
It is a Black Monday this year.
Now, here's the thing. According to the New York Times, yes, Virginia, you did actually get a tax cut.
Oh, we got to get into that today.
Oh, even the New York Times is admitting it today. Anyway, their Black Friday sale is happening today. It's 45% off everything, plus an additional 5% off if you use the promo code BECK. That's today is the last day. So whether you're thinking about new blind shade, shutters, drapes, whatever it is, today is the day. 45% off, 100% satisfaction guarantee, plus an additional 5% off. That means half off everything today, only at Blinds.com. That's Blinds.com, promo code BECK. Tonight at 5 o'clock, only on Blaze TV, we have part deux of Joe Biden and his family affair. He takes care of the family business. You know what I'm saying? Last week, we told you about Ukraine. I'm going to go over that information here on radio here in just a few minutes. And then tonight at 5 o'clock, we'll show you another one of the big scandals, and that is in China. And this one, it makes the Ukraine look like small potatoes. It really does. What's happening with China and the corruption with Joe Biden is a little staggering. And we'll give that to you coming up. He is the most corrupt vice president we have ever had. And remember, I mean, we had the impeachment of, what was it, Andrew Johnson after Lincoln. He was Lincoln's vice president, and he became president. He was just awful.
Yeah, there's been some bad ones.
Yeah, I there's mean, been some real bad
Spiro Agnew comes to mind.
Yeah, Spiro Agnew.
You know, not necessarily the best.
Yeah. This is the worst, and we'll show you tonight at 5 o'clock, only on the Blaze TV. Make sure you join us. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. If you use the promo code Glenn, you're going to save $10 off of your yearly subscription. It is promo code Glenn, BlazeTV.com/Glenn.
This is on the internet? I go to the internet for this?
You go to the interwebs.
Okay, so you go to the interwebs and you type in Blaze TV.
www. Dot, okay. And that's a period, that's not DOT.
BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Promo code is
Glenn.
Okay.
The good thing is he doesn't have home title lock.
No, it's his
fault. But he's got a jacket.
The green jacket does not protect you against home title fraud, sadly.
Nope, that's what I found out last night. All right, you need somebody to watch over your home and your title. This is a very easy crime and a fastest growing crime in America. You need home title lock. HomeTitleLock.com. You get a $100 search for free when you sign up. Boy, is Tiger Woods going to be surprised when he signs up. HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Bernie Sanders and his scandal-rid career. Next.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There is a civil war happening inside the Democratic Party, and not a lot of people are willing to talk about it. It's strange. It came out on 60 Minutes last night with Nancy Pelosi, where Nancy is saying AOC's coalition is only about five people. Boy, the gloves are coming off. What does that mean? And which side is going to win? And if it is the standard old school progressive side, what's interesting is that probably will mean that Joe Biden would be the presidential nominee. But there's a problem with Joe Biden. He is riddled with corruption with his family. We'll show you the facts in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, you want to win a gun? Oh, what was the guy that came in from California yesterday that said he's going to take away all the guns?
Eric
Swalwell.
Swalwell. Mm-hmm. Sorry, no president could be named Swalwell.
That's not allowed.
No. It sounds like a disease, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I have a terrible case of Swalwell.
Oh, my gosh. Swollen Swalwells are really...
It does sound like
it. It does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, he said yesterday that the Second Amendment is not an absolute right, and he is going to ban all semi-automatic weapons. And Jake Tapper, you say whatever you want about Jake Tapper, but Jake Tapper is the only one asking these questions of anybody. And he said, so does that mean, what are you going to do with those people who won't turn them in? They're going to go to jail? And the answer was yes. Should be interesting.
You think the border is an issue? Can you imagine if they started putting in jail the millions of law-abiding citizens who have their guns legally and have a constitutional right to have them?
There's only about 400 million guns.
No, that's going to go well. Yeah. That whole process, what a wonderful thing.
Anyway, would you like to win a gun? Don't have a gun? You could win one right now from the USCCA. They're giving you 19 chances to win a brand new gun. It's a high-tech polymer frame. It makes it lightweight for a comfortable conceal. It is highly customizable. It is renowned for being durable, rugged, and reliable. It has a 15+1 round capacity for this gun. So you'll never be left high and dry at the range, or God forbid if you ever need one in a self-defense situation. Want to see the gun? Just text Beck, B-E-C-K, 87222 right now to reveal the gun.
You're texting Beck to
87222. What did I say? Text Beck to 87222. We'll reveal the gun, and you'll also be locked in for your 19 chances to win. a brand new gun. It's quick, it's simple, 100% free. The giveaway ends this Friday. So text the word Beck, B-E-C-K, 8722.
No, hold on. Just text the word Beck.
2-8-7.
To the number.
Yeah.
87222. So the number is 87222. That's what you're texting it to.
Right,
and
I know
you
that.
You use the name Beck. You said it about five different ways. So I just thought I'd
you text
clarify.
Beck.
Yes. To the number 87222.
Who doesn't know this? Right now, you can get the official rules. You'll lock in your 19 entries before Friday or before you just start punching Stu.
I'm trying to help.
87222 is the number that you text the word Beck to. Now there's an extra two. All right. Last week, I took you through several examples of the way Joe Biden apparently helps his close family members secure amazing business deals while he was vice president. One of those instances involved Joe Biden's younger brother, James, becoming an executive of a new construction company, even though he had absolutely no experience in construction whatsoever. 6 months after he joined the company, it scored a $1.5 billion contract to build 100,000 homes in war-torn Iraq. What are the odds? Here's a construction company that hires somebody as an advisor who has zero, and let me say it again, zero construction experience. And just a few months later, he is so good with his advice that that company gets a $1.5 billion contract from the United States government, which his brother is the vice president of. What are the odds?
It's a miracle.
Even the president of the company said to investors, it kind of helps to have the brother of the vice president as a partner. Oh, well, this isn't everything that's wrong with capitalism, is it? If you think it's good to be the vice president's brother, it's even better to be his son. On last Thursday's TV show, I did a major chalkboard explaining how Joe Biden's son, Hunter, came on the board of Ukraine's largest private natural gas company. Now, wait a minute. Did Hunter have lots and lots of experience to be on the board of a gas company in the Ukraine? Well, he had as much experience as his uncle did in construction. Zero. Tonight on TV, I'm going back to the chalkboard for part two of Joe Biden's profile. And as bad as the Biden's activity was in Ukraine, it is the tip of the iceberg when you see the deals that have been struck in China. Now, to give you just a quick hint, and this isn't even a preview about how plugged in they are in China, I want to give you a separate story that we don't even have time to get into tonight. This should tell you how big tonight's episode is when this is a scrap that we couldn't even get. We had to leave this one on the edit floor. Chinese oil tycoon Yi Jianming worked overtime to get meetings with his top movers and shakers in the U.S. government. His efforts included, well, you just tell me, Stu. You're just a businessman. Mm-hmm. You want to do business with the United States. What do you have to do to get a meeting with, like, the vice president? What do you think you have to do if the vice president under Obama? What do you have to do? You just
message him on LinkedIn.
Message him on LinkedIn. That's mm-hmm. a good one.
That's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Send in your resume. Show how much of a mover and shaker you are.
Got to be a big deal.
Yeah, a big deal. Have some merit behind that. Or you could donate $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation.
That's always another path, isn't it? It seems to be a path to so many things.
Right. I mean, it was almost a rite of passage for any foreigners that wanted access to anybody in the Obama administration. But it's weird because those are separate. right?
Right, right, of course.
Okay, 2015, Mr. Yee worked on trying to connect with the Biden family, but by that point, as you will see tonight, Hunter Biden's company was deeply involved with Chinese businesses. At first, one of Mr. Yee's top lieutenants, a guy named Patrick Ho, met with Hunter Biden in Washington, D.C. That led Mr. Yee himself meeting with Hunter at a Miami hotel in 2017. At that meeting, Mr. Yee proposed partnering with Hunter Biden's firm to invest in U.S. infrastructure and energy. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Then in November of 2017, Joe Biden's brother, James, was in the hotel lobby when he got a random call from Patrick Ho. Now, this, remember, is Mr. Yee's top lieutenant. Ho was in deep trouble and told the vice president's brother that he was looking for a lawyer. Federal agents had arrested Ho in New York on allegations that he bribed African officials in Chad and Uganda for access to oil fields. Bribery? Wait a minute. That's an awful lot like what was happening with the gas in the Ukraine. During Ho's trial, prosecutors showed that Mr. Yee's company had a side gig. Not only bribery, but he also was an arms dealer. Ho was ultimately convicted of conspiracy, attempted bribery, and money laundering. His boss, Mr. Yee, is now in Chinese custody at an undisclosed location. Now, perhaps the weirdest and most cryptic part of this whole episode is what James Biden told the New York Times when they interviewed him about that phone call from Patrick Ho. Listen carefully. James Biden said he was surprised by the call and believed that Ho had intended to reach Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. So he gave him Hunter's contact information. And then Joe's brother, James, said this, quote, "There's nothing else I have to say. I don't want to be dragged into this anymore." End quote. Dragged? Dragged into what? Who's dragging Joe Biden's brother into something nefarious? Presumably, the deep web of Chinese business connections that Joe Biden facilitated for his son while he was vice president might be something that his brother does not want to be dragged into. Probably the most disturbing aspects of the Chinese deals are the national security implications. Tonight, I will show you the partnerships that have been formed in China. I explain all of it on tonight's Glenn Beck program, only on Blaze TV. We also talked to Peter Schweitzer, who blew the lid off this scandal on Biden's activity, but no one seems to care. Perhaps it's because they haven't heard the story. They haven't seen it on the chalkboard. Tonight, things are heating up on blazetv.com/Glenn. blazetv.com/GLENN. If you haven't joined yet, please join now. Norton has been an expert in cybersecurity for many years and way ahead of their times by keeping your data secure. This time, they're launching their own VPN technology. It's a virtual private network, and they are the next big thing in privacy. This is something that every home should have, every person should have. You connect to a public Wi-Fi, you are, even if it's password protected, you are opening yourself up for all kinds of trouble. That's why you need Norton Secure VPN. It's easy to use. It encrypts all your connections, even on public Wi-Fi, so the information you send and receive is safe from cyber criminals who want to steal your private information. Not all VPNs are truly private. This one is. Norton Secure VPN does not log your online activity and app usage. It is truly a private network. Get Norton Secure VPN and enjoy the convenience of the connected world without any of the worries about online privacy or security. Just head to norton.com/VPN. Protection starts at $333 a month. That's Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. Joe Biden stuff is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and his polling lead is seemingly, I mean, evaporated at least in one poll. He now trails Bernie Sanders 29-24 in the latest poll from Emerson, which is a good pollster, but small sample size. The dates are right in the middle of the, you know, the peak of this sort of controversy. So whether this is a long-term thing or not, we don't know. Pete Buttigieg is up to 9% now, is in third place, and then the kind of group of other contenders, including Kamala Harris, and
America's made their mind up on those guys.
O'Rourke and Warren as well are right there in 8. That's in 7%, and then everybody else follows well behind. This is a national poll, by the way.
This is going to be. I'm convinced.
You make a lot of "I'm convinced" statements about politics that you later on say you were not so convinced about, or should not have been so convinced about.
Yeah, I was always convinced. So. I was just always wrong.
Right. Yes, you were.
I mean, I'm willing to admit I'm wrong.
No, this is never. You've never been a guy who says I can predict politics.
No,
perfectly.
I'm the exact opposite of that. I can't predict politics. I have no idea. No idea.
I mean,
but I can predict I can predict directions. I'm good at direction.
Yeah.
You know, long-term direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that this race is going to be won by somebody that is not in the system. Just not in the system. And that would be a Buttigieg or someone like that. That's a complete outsider. That when... Right now, the people who are really paying attention are the people who are politically connected and politically aware. I think the Democrats are so overplaying their hand that their arrogance is going to be their undoing this time around. And why I say that is when you see what AOC and Ilhan Omar and all of these people are saying, it's too far for the average Democrat, even the Democratic voter, not the ones in Washington. And the ones in Washington are sick, but they're the ones, they're not going to get the vote because people see this game that they're playing and they're sick of it. They're sick of it.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi would love to get everything that AOC and Ilhan Omar are asking for. She'd love all of it.
She
realizes that exactly what you're saying, it's too far for a lot of America.
Right.
She's used to dealing with the entire caucus, some people who are in purple districts where they won by 1 point, and they can't come out and endorse socialized medicine tomorrow, even though they may very well want it.
But here's the problem. That the Democrats, because they hated me and said everything that I said was you know, a conspiracy theory and stupid and whatever, that they didn't listen to the warning that I gave, not just to the American people, but I gave it more importantly to the Democrats. When I talked about the coming insurrection, that book from France, and it was written by the people who were sick of the progressives. They were the actual Marxist revolutionaries. And it started in, what a surprise, academia. And they were saying, you people have been in office forever. And we're so close now, we want it. Just take it. You guys are only doing this for yourself. You don't even believe in this. You're just doing this for your own power, and you're never going to complete the deal. You're just going to keep stringing us along. And that's why the insurrection was coming in France, which we have seen with the yellow vest. By the way, did you see the police were given permission to use live ammunition to bring down yellow vest protesters this weekend?
Mm.
Okay. Things are heating up in France, and that is where it started. The real radicals that said, we want change. Now, Nancy Pelosi can say she's a progressive all she want, but progressivism was not the answer. It was a means to the end. The end was to flip us red.
Not the, red state.
No, to flip us totalitarian, dictatorship. All I'm trying to, the words that didn't have the meaning that they have now. There is no meaning. In fact, it was Stuart Chase that said after World War II, we just have to call this System X now, because fascism, communism, dictatorship, those are all words that have different meanings. So we don't have a word. We're just calling it System X. So progressivism was just to put in System X, which is top down everything. We would have known it as communism or fascism or authoritarianism, statism. Nancy Pelosi doesn't realize you're not in charge anymore. You're not in charge anymore. You think you are. You thought you could use these radicals. You thought you could bring them in, give them a taste of power, teach them how the system works, then let them create their own little viruses and you'd somehow be inoculated against it. You're not.
No, I mean, she certainly is dismissive of them. I mean, this video, can we play some of this? This
yes.
is Nancy Pelosi talking about, she gets to AOC and Ilhan Omar. Listen to how dismissive she is of them. They, I mean, at this point, the people who have held power for a long time hate this group of newcomers. They are not fans. They don't like the idea that they're getting all the attention. They're getting all the media love. Listen to this from Nancy Pelosi.
You yourself said that you're the only one who can unify everybody. And the question is, can you?
By and large, whatever orientation they came to Congress with, they know that we have to hold the center, that we have to go down the mainstream.
They know that?
They do.
But it doesn't look like that. It looks as if it's fractured.
She likes to minimize the conflicts within her caucus between the moderates and the progressives.
You have these wings, AOC and her group on one side.
Well, it's like five people.
No, it's the progressive group. It's more than
five. I'm a progressive, yeah.
No, you're not.
Well, she is. She is absolutely.
She is remember.
She's actually more progressive than them. She's progressing slowly. They're going for the revolution.
Correct. Right? But she sees progressivism as a destination.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a destination. No. It is a system to get you. It's like, I'm a train. No, you're that's not a destination. That's a vehicle that delivers you from one place to another. Progressivism is to progress you to another destination. The people at the other destination are saying, your train's too slow.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
SimpliSafe, 100% committed to helping you fear less at home. SimpliSafe protects your home 24/7 with no hidden fees or contracts. This is why they're the fastest growing home security company in the U.S., protecting now over 3 million people. They were started by a young guy who was just trying to help his friends who rented apartments. Now they are completely monetizing the entire industry. They are exploding because they have respect for you, the customer, and they've got really great products. SimpliSafe Home Security, an amazing company. You don't find these kinds of American success stories very often anymore. It's still a small-run company with the same values they started with. System is wireless, practically invisible in your home, and you can order online. Just fear less by going to SimpliSafeBeck.com and get my 10% discount right now. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com. You get free shipping, free returns, 10% off right now at SimpliSafeBeck.com. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
JoinBlazeTV.com/Glenn. You can get the Biden special. It happens tonight. Don't miss what he has been up to in China. Use the promo code Glenn.
Welcome to the program. Glad you're here. You watch Game of Thrones at all, Stu?
Not one moment.
Not one moment
in my entire life.
Really?
I watched
Game of Thrones. Only up to year eight. So, but not one moment in 8 years.
I think it would be interesting for me to just try to pick it up during this season and see if I can figure it out.
Oh, do.
Yeah.
Do. I've watched it. My wife has not watched it. And I wanted, and she was like, I don't want to watch that. And it's really good. It's really good. It's dicey. Man, the bad guys are really bad.
I hear about it all the time. It's one of those things where I had several conversations just with, you know, random people at things we were doing this weekend are just like, so are you watching Game of Thrones? Are you pumped up for
so
it?
So what do you think it's about? What do you know about it?
I think it was set in medieval times.
The restaurant?
Not the restaurant.
Okay.
Not the restaurant. Am I right about that part of it?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. And there is a struggle over a throne of some sort, like where like maybe a couple families are trying to fight against each other to get control of something.
Okay.
And they don't like each other.
Yes, and it's an understatement.
And they maybe get a little violent, and maybe there's a lot of sex and nudity, and then a couple of flying dragons. Those are the things I would say I know.
Yes, okay.
That is the limit of my knowledge over this.
Do you know anything about winter?
Just generally, or are you saying?
Okay, good. All right, okay. You don't know. Have you heard anything about the wall?
I mean, Trump talks about it a lot, but that's the only thing I know about the wall.
You're going to be confused. You should watch tonight.
Just jump right in.
It was on last night. Just jump right in. And then tell me what you think is happening.
I have no idea.
No idea. Just start. Don't ask anybody. Don't ask anybody.
Just try to understand it in a complete vacuum.
In a complete vacuum.
Jumping into season 8.
Season 8. Last season.
I gotta know.
They're expecting 1 billion people to watch this by the end. 1 billion people to watch this season.
That does not seem possible, but.
I
guess. I mean, you know, Aquaman made over $1 billion, so anything's possible.
No, that was 50, but a billion people didn't see Aquaman.
No, it's true.
That kind of probably would hurt Aquaman if a billion people had seen
the whole franchise would die.
This is an amazing story. I want to read the books. They're ahead of the books now.
This is another thing I don't understand. And then this is, I will say, a little bit of knowledge I do have on this particular topic, which is, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah.
Dude writes a bunch of books.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, these books are great. We should make a movie series out of this.
Mm-hmm.
They start the series.
Mm-hmm.
He's not done with the books.
Right.
So now the series have caught up to the books and are now past the books.
Yeah.
The dude's not writing the books now. Right? He's not going back and writing the books.
He's really old. I don't know if he's going to make it. But he's advising them. He's telling them the outline of the books.
So he's basically, this is a good gig.
Yeah.
Because he sold all the books and made a lot of money off of that.
Yeah.
Then he's made a lot of money on the HBO show. And now he can just kind of like dictate. He no longer has to write the books.
Yeah,
he's kind of like, I don't know, this one does
take
that.
The transcript. Take the transcript from season 8.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah, because that's all you have to do.
Yeah, just add a couple of extra things in there.
Describe
she stopped
things.
To smell the flowers, which were beautiful this time of year. Then back to the TV part.
This is a great gig. It's like it's the Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like she wrote so many books and she made so much money. Then she made all the movie money. And then she's like, I'm never writing another one of these. Ah, surprise, here's another one. It's related to it somehow. Sure. Buy it. Yeah. She makes another like $50 million dollars in a day.
But I hear the second one was bad. What is it? Grenwald, whatever that thing is. I saw the first one and I thought it was okay.
And the first one is an extension of the Harry Potter world, right?
Yeah, I think it's before Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's another one. I could jump in right now and have no idea what's going on.
Harry Potter is
I don't
good.
Like any
They're
of it.
Good books. They're great, great books.
Yeah.
Movies are meh.
This is not my genre. I mean, you know, the medieval thing violates one of my central premises of watching anything, which is, with very few exceptions, I don't watch anything before World War II.
This is set slightly before.
This is well before.
Well, and maybe after World War II. We don't know.
So we don't know. It could be
don't know.
One of those things.
Could be future, could be past, don't know.
It's like Star Wars seems futuristic, but then it's, you know, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Right?
Oh my gosh, I never caught on to that.
Right.
Well, that's interesting.
That wasn't a central point to my thesis, but I'm interested to.
Yes. So, you know what I find interesting is the woman who plays the blonde, She's the mother of all dragons, okay?
You're giving me free information here. I like
it. Okay, well, you're going to figure out the blonde, and they're going to probably say mother. She'll be riding a dragon, okay?
Okay. I'll look for the blonde riding the dragon.
Okay. She is, what is her name? Do you know her real name? She's an amazing actress, And she got this role at the last minute, she has just made it her own. I think it was in season two. They just came out with this. In season two, right after season one or two, she had a stroke. She had a major brain aneurysm. And it blew.
How old is she?
20.
Oh, wow.
9, something like that. Amelia Clark, yeah. Oh, my gosh, she's a great actress. And so she had this brain aneurysm, and they didn't think that she would recover or talk, she couldn't remember her own name. She was talking nonsense. She works and 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 doesn't tell anybody. And she recovers enough to shoot the next season. So she shoots the next season, says it was the hardest thing because she was in so much pain and she was just trying to remember lines and not be like, pizza shoes.
Wow.
And she makes it.
No, I'm just saying, wow, pizza shoes sound awesome.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. You only want to wear them in nice places because you don't want to eat them after you walk around and, you know.
Well, you can always eat the tops, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Anyways, never thought of that. Shoestring cheese, write that down. Goes through the next season. She gets through it. She has a second brain aneurysm.
Oh my!
This God. One, they think she's going to die, and she is in the hospital in New York. They still think there's no way she's going to be able to recover from this. Blah 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 blah. Massive, massive brain hemorrhage. She does it again. And she said it was worse getting better this time. The pain was so much worse. Everything was so much worse. She does it again. And nobody knew until, I think, 3 months ago she came out with that, which is remarkable.
That is remarkable. It's very difficult to recover from two brain aneurysms and hold your job in the entertainment industry.
Right. No, but wait. Not only that, she did another movie in that time called Me Before You. Which I didn't recognize her at all. She didn't look like, you know, Daenerys or Daenerys or whatever her name is. She is fantastic. She's just electric on the screen. In Me Before You, she's unbelievable.
So you can survive the brain aneurysm thing and
as
keep
an
your
actor,
job.
Yes.
You can't survive asking a couple of women to watch you do things to yourself. And then they agree and then later complain about it. You can't keep your job as a cartoon dog if you do that. That we should be very clear. In case you're looking for this career path and you want to be a cartoon dog,
you should know. Why wouldn't put the brain aneurysm in the same category?
No, I'm just saying it's a difficult thing to come back from.
Right.
You can come back from the aneurysm thing, can't come back from the other thing.
As a cartoon dog.
As a cartoon dog. As Louis C.K. has found out, because they are coming out with The Secret Life of Pets 2. Now, The Secret Life of Pets, if you have kids, they've probably seen it if they're in that age range. It's
funny.
It's another one of those, like, I don't know, is it Pixar? I don't even know. It's Universal Pictures, Illumination. These things come out all the time. And your kid, of course, if they're in that age, they watch all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me because a lot of times they'll be watching them. We're on a trip. They got the DVD going in the back of the car or something. And I just hear the voices. And so they're always familiar and you can't quite place them out of context.
Correct.
And but listening to that one right away, realized it was Louis C.K., who is the voice of the lead dog in that particular movie.
He can no longer be a cartoon dog?
Now he can't do that. Now, I don't know what his voice had to do with his Me Too problems. I don't know if kids would be like, oh my gosh, I feel like that dog's going to do something to itself. I don't know what is implied here.
And would that really be unusual?
That's what they do. It actually happens in these movies. But no, they've now stripped him of this role and they're going to give it to Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt?
Right, which I guess he's just, you know, perfectly pristine in his life, I guess.
Patton Oswalt. He's he may be verifiably nuts.
Guy's had an interesting life, that's
he
for
has,
sure.
He
yeah,
has.
Yeah, I mean, he's had tragedy in his life, but he's very viscerally, you know, hateful towards Republicans and stuff. And that apparently does not keep you out of a gig like this. Although he has, and he's also at other times done very nice things for random, I mean, he's like helped fund random, like people on Twitter.
I don't know
Twitter's
why I don't.
And,
I mean, let me speak just as a knee-jerk, live in social media. I don't know why I don't despise Patton Oswalt. And maybe it's because...
He probably despises you, just if it makes
oh,
you feel
no,
any
I can
better.
Guarantee he does. Probably because I think he's funny at times and, you know...
Yeah, he is. He's, yeah. he's very funny.
And so maybe that's what it is. But I have looked at him and thought, he is... Maybe a little unstable. Maybe a little unstable.
He said, I mean,
I don't know his tragedies.
Dying was a really big, crazy thing kind of out of nowhere. And that was, she wrote, her story is kind of crazy. She wrote a book about one of the serial killers. I want to say it was in California. She was writing a book about that when she died. And that's the one they just found.
That's
they actually
right.
just uncovered through all the evidence.
They found the guy
and figured out who it was after it was like a cold case for decades. I'm butchering the story, but it's an amazing one. If I tell it well, and she's so, but yeah, and,
told by someone else, Stu. It is a great story.
Wait till you hear my Game of Thrones rundown tomorrow. You're gonna be like wishing for the Patton Oswalt story.
All right, our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today is the last day of their Black Friday sale. It started on Friday. Ends today on Black Monday. Black Monday isn't because it's like, you know, have to go in and steal a TV or, you know, club somebody over the head for, you know, the last remaining big screen at Walmart. Black Monday is Black Monday because it's tax day.
I'll say, too, I mean, you know, there's people saying we're getting smaller refunds than we used to because the government hasn't borrowed your money, you know, interest free for half of the year like they usually do. This is a good thing, by the way, but people still do get refunds. And this is a great day. If you're going to get a refund today, looking for a way to invest in your home, I can tell you I went with Blinds.com. Great, great way to do this.
This is their biggest sale. It is happening right now. It ends today. 45% off of everything plus an additional 5% off if you use the promo code Beck. So you're going to get a full 50% off everything, but it ends tonight at midnight. Use the promo code Beck, 50% off of everything if you use the promo code Beck. That's tonight and today, right now. Blind, shade, shutters, drapes, whatever you want for your house, get up to 45% off everything. But because you listen to this program, it'll be 50% off if you use the promo code Beck. That's promo code Beck at blinds.com. We're just talking about the new Star Wars trailer that came out. It's the last one of the series. And I watched it and it looked good, but I was kind of like,
Yeah, I think the last one, The Last Jedi being part 8 of the series, hurt the series a decent amount.
Yeah, I think Disney bought this and perhaps Marvel at exactly the wrong time.
Maybe. I still think they're going to make a fortune off of this. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to go see it. I'm going to be there opening weekend.
I know, but
I'm
it
sure.
was, it. I mean, it had the mystique. Star Wars it had the mystique, and now it's kind of like, and I think you're right. We were just talking about the, what was the last one called?
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. It should have been The Last Jedi.
Well, yeah.
And it was, and when Leia dies, she dies in the middle of the movie, in the production.
In real life.
In real
she's
life.
She's dead.
So why didn't they just let her float away in space?
Yes, because it's one of those horrible scenes that ruins an entire movie.
Horrible.
Where she floats away into space and then somehow swims back through space to get back to the ship.
And you're like, what?
Like, what is going on? She actually died in real life. This is, I mean, you're going down this road and you're like, we're going to have her float into space and it's going to look amazing. And then you look at it and you're like, okay, this is a disaster. What do we do? Then the blessing of all blessings, the actual actress drops dead in real life. And they're like, well, let's just still bring her back and we'll computer generate her face. That's what we'll do. It's like, no, make Luke live and let her just float.
That's one of those
just
things.
Float her off.
That's one of those things where you need a good coach just to come in and, okay, okay, game change.
All right.
This isn't working.
We're playing zone. We're going mad to man.
Pulling him out. Pulling her out. We're putting you in. Go. That's what should have happened.
I think they should have just gone to the point where instead of running that scene the way they did it, they should have just said, you know what? We just don't reference Leia again. We just act like she never existed.
I think you could have had the Last Jedi. Yeah. Somebody could have come up to him and said, hey, where's Princess Leia? And he just does that hand wave.
Right.
And Leia never existed. Leia never existed. Hey, guys, Leia never existed.
why am I talking about someone I've never heard of? I don't understand. Right. And then it would be over.
It would be over, and you'd be like, why, what's that? And then they could drag it up in 20 years from now when they're making even a crappier movie for our kids.
Now, it's a terrible loss to lose Carrie Fisher, who is awesome in many ways, but like for them, she's floating off into space. It would have been a good ending to her run on the series to just let her kind of float off, and then she could come back and do the ghost thing.
Right.
She could do the Jacob Marley like return.
Right.
And she can scare everybody or tell them like, secrets, you know, or whatever.
Stand there, you know, by the trees with the Ewoks. So they could put her next to her now.
It would have worked.
Right. Would have been fine.
Instead.
Would have been fine.
I don't understand what
they're
doing.
And she'd be dead with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, they can be together. And then Luke can kind of keep going on and at least have somebody from the old movies. I just don't understand it. Maybe not.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Real Estate Agents I Trust. We are officially kind of into spring, aren't we? Really?
Yes.
Easter is the beginning of spring.
Prime time home buying and selling season.
Yeah. If you're looking to sell your home, you need the right agent that's going to sell it on time and for the most amount of money. You don't want to be sitting around with a home for very long. Now you can do it if your real estate agent knows how to really do, you know, how to sell homes, if they are the real estate agent in your area. And there is a great difference between real estate agents, a huge difference. Some of them are really good, some of them are really bad. We're going to put you in touch with the right one. If you're looking to sell your home or buy a new one, realestateagentsitrust.com. They're going to find the right agent for you to sell your home fast and for the most amount of money, or to go in and find the right home that you can, the right house where you can build a home in. realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, it's tax day. We have the word from the New York Times. Must have killed them to admit this. Oh, most Americans are paying less in taxes. We'll give you that coming up in a second. Also, more on the Trump sanctuary city strategy, which I'm in love with. But apparently some mayors and some Hollywood celebrities are now, I guess, standing with Donald Trump. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Want to talk to you a little bit about X chairs. They are more like a recliner than your typical office chair. They are that comfortable. For those of us who spend our time sitting in chairs and working from our desk, we spend more time behind our desk than we do in bed. And it makes a huge difference, the chair that you sit in. No more sore necks or backs, just focus and productivity. You need to experience the X chair to see how different it is right now. You can go to xchairbeck.com and experience it for yourself. And send you a chair. If you don't love it, no questions asked, money back guarantee within 30 days. It's engineering, it's great styling, it's great materials, and the best thing about the chair is it's really super comfortable, really comfortable. Try the X Basic model, $100 off or as low as $28 a month with 0% financing. Order today and you'll also get a free footrest. The new X Chair Basic and all X Chairs come with a 30-day no questions asked guarantee of complete satisfaction and free shipping. X Chair on sale now for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter X Chair Beck. .com or call 1-844-4X-CHAIR, 1-844-4X-CHAIR, or xchairbeck.com. I want to show you a tweet that I just posted. We've sent a picture out of Cher in a Make America Great Again hat. Now, I hope she's safe. I hope when she's going to, you know, Waffle House or someplace there in California that she's safe wearing that red hat. And I think that's an actual photo. I was surprised to see her in the red hat.
Might be two photos maybe put together.
But they're both actual photos.
They're both actual photos.
Yes, okay. Yes. So here's what she tweeted after Donald Trump's, idea of sending, you know, people, these dreamers down to the border. Mm. Into places like Los Angeles. She tweeted, "I understand helping struggling immigrants, but my city, Los Angeles, isn't taking care of its own." Those are all caps. So is this. "What about the 50,000 plus citizens who live on the streets? People who live below the poverty line and are hungry?" All caps. "If my state can't take care of its own," many are vets, "how can it take care of more?"
Hmm.
That explains the Trump hat, doesn't it?
And it's also a very good point.
It is. Hmm. Now, it is the point, I think, that we've been making on the right for a very long time. It's kind of like a lifeboat. That if America is a lifeboat, we take in as many as we can. But at some point, you have to row the boat away from the teeming water. Otherwise, they'll swamp the boat and everyone will be dead.
Hmm.
So the idea is to make sure that we have the resources. For instance, we all love socialized medicine. All of us love it. We all love it. Now, many of us believe that no one was dying of cancer on the streets in front of the hospital. If you had cancer, you were taken care of. If you were hemorrhaging and you walked into a hospital, they didn't say, "I'm sorry, I need to see your insurance card first. You're hemorrhaging." But this new idea of everybody can have free health care, that's wonderful. Unless you let everybody in. For instance, in my house, now it may be different in your house, everybody eats for free. I don't charge my kids for breakfast. I just don't do it. Now, I know that makes me a weirdo, but I don't do it for lunch or dinner or snacks. I don't say to them, by the way, you didn't pay your bill last night for dinner. I don't do that. But the reason why I don't do that is because my family lives in the house. And occasionally we will share it with friends or neighbors and they will come in and they'll have dinner. But they're by invitation. And because we run our house and our food this way, we have extra money to where we can go down, and we do, and give our money to soup kitchens or those in need. However, if I just opened up the doors and anyone could come into my kitchen, come into my pantry, and fix up a bowl of whatever it is, I wouldn't have enough for my family. And I'd have a constant struggle between chaos and going broke. And I wouldn't be able to make it to the soup kitchen. Now, just take that idea, Cher, and you understand what you're saying is the same thing I'm saying at the home level. You're saying it at the city level. But you know what's crazy? Go up one more level. State level, it works. Go up one more level. The country level, it still works. Isn't that crazy? So all you have to do is just think a little bigger. Now, I know that's easy for you to do because you're the woman who said, "No, damn it, I'm going to have 25 costume changes in one show." And you did it. So you're a big thinker. Now, think that one through, Cher.
You get that the idea occasionally that the partisan sort of
picking teams thing is so bad that the people making the arguments don't even realize what side they're supposed to be on.
Well, this is crazy because this is so blatant. This is what we're saying about the country.
Yeah.
We're saying, look how, tell me about poverty. Tell me about poverty. Tell me about joblessness, homelessness. Yeah. Why does your state have such a problem with homelessness? Why is that? A lot of it has to do with illegals coming in. You're overrun by illegals. Now, there's nothing wrong with people who want to come in and work. But you can't just have everyone come in without knowing who they are. Not everybody wants to work. Some people just want a better life on the streets here than they have there.
She's articulating the conservative point here.
Exactly right.
And part of it is, I think, you know, people on the left in particular are so locked into some things that they think are automatically true. Like, you know, Republicans are racist and rich people are evil and we should, you know, judge people by the color of their skin and not the content of their character. There are certain things that are kind of fundamental to the belief of being on the left. So if you were to, if your belief is, well, Republicans don't want illegal immigrants because they don't like Mexicans, this might be a good point to you, right? You might say, well, yeah, we can't do these things. We, you know, we're going to get over, our system's going to be overwhelmed. We want to help, but we can't do everything for everybody. Because they're dismissing the actual arguments we're making. I remember talking to a guy a long time ago who he said he was pro-choice. And I was like, you know, you don't seem like, you know, because his other views seem to be, generally speaking, like middle of the road, maybe mm-hmm. leaning conservative. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what's your, you know, why, what's your viewpoint? Like, you say you're pro-choice. Like, what, why is that? And we were talking for a while. And after a while, he just said, you know, I can't get to the idea that Republicans are just like, I mean, if someone is raped or they're, you know, there's incest or abuse, like I can't tell that person they can't abort their kid. And I'm like, well, first of all, we'll get into that detail a little bit later. There's some, mm-hmm. there's some quibbles I would have with that. But you do realize you're currently describing George W. Bush's position on abortion. Like, that's what George Bush says. He says rape and incest exceptions, no abortion outside of that. Like, you, people don't even realize the terms they're applying to things. They think they're on other sides. And we've seen this a lot recently, and it's not just a disease of the left. But people so consistently vilify ideology as if it's something bad. Ideology is a collection of viewpoints that are coherent together. That's what it is. Okay? If you're believing things that make no sense with each other, then you might not have an ideology, and you might say, well, I'm just pragmatic and I'm getting things done and I'm just doing the best thing. But if they don't work together, then you're making gigantic mistakes and you probably don't know what you're talking about,
right,
on a lot of issues.
And you don't know why.
Yeah, you should have an ideology. Everyone should have an ideology. You could make the argument it should be a qualifying instance. You must have an ideology to vote. Because if you're just going in there with absolutely no coherent thought about these things, you haven't taken enough time to noodle it to really understand the things you're voting for. The idea that someone comes in and says, well, you know what, this feels pragmatically good today, is a terrible way to run a country. You know, you should have competing ideologies, groups of views. We always think of these things of like, well, you know, the left wants to do X, and why don't we do that? Well, because we believe, excessive government, increased government is bad for people, and there's a reason for that, and here's the ideology that underlies it. Instead, what we get are people who are like, well, in this instance, I want that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The government is giving me something that I want, so therefore I will support that thing. And then next time when it's someone else that I don't know and I don't want that to give my money to them, well, then I'll oppose it. Well, that's not a coherent way to run a country. You have to think of these things in a principled way,
that's
in an ideological way.
This is why feelings don't matter. It doesn't matter because what happens is, well, I feel for this person, but I don't feel anything for that person. So I'm going to help that person and not that person. And it's not just I'm going to help. That's fine. You want to run your life on feelings? That's fine. But you can't run a country on feelings. You can't run a system of anything on feelings. Because why did you pick that person? Well, because I felt like that person really needed it. And I don't really like that person over there.
that's racism, sexism. Yeah. That's just an ism of some sort.
Right. And no one makes that. I wouldn't say no one, but most people don't make that an obvious thought. They don't think it's a subconscious thing. Like,
right.
Well, it's not that you don't like the people. It's just that, you know, that doesn't seem like a central interest to you. And you mm-hmm. see the impact of this other policy and you like the fact that it's coming to you, or you like the fact that it's coming to someone you know or care about. You know, we do this with, this happens with sports teams all the time. It's like, I am the biggest sports fan in the world and I love it. But the proper amount that government should give to sports franchises to build their stadiums is $0 per year and $0 forever. I mean, if the Philadelphia Eagles had to move out of Philadelphia, do you know what the percentage of conservatives who would support government money going to the Eagles that were Philadelphia Eagles fans? Like 100%. It would be almost every single person who would not want government money to go to other things would be like, well, I don't want the Eagles leaving town, of course. Well, you know what? The government should not be making the decision whether the Eagles leave town or not. You know, I mean, that's not the way that that's supposed to work.
It's
fundamentally, the amount spent on sports, including, by the way, the Special Olympics by the government, should be $0. $0. The Special Olympics are a fantastic event, and we can't say enough good things about them. However, the government should not be funding sports events. That is not the role of the government.
Wow.
And if you don't have an ideology, wow. you don't get that. To these places. You just say, well, I like the Special Olympics and I like the fact that it does good things, which it does.
It's almost like what Stu is saying is the government shouldn't be responsible for the general welfare. It should just promote the general welfare.
Huh. That's a weird way you put that.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Relief Factor. If you're in constant pain, you're not alone. And I know, because I was in massive pain, have been for years. I feel better than I have felt in 6 years, and it's getting better and better every day. Heather from Louisiana wrote in, I love Relief Factor. I can tell the difference when I don't use it. I have been a loyal customer for the last 2 years, and I've shared packets with a fellow police officer. We work out together, and we always are talking about ways to stay pain-free. Thank you for this wonderful product, Relief Factor. 100% drug-free, created by doctors. Take the 3-week quick start. You take it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You take it every day, consistently, 30 days. You're going to see a difference, because your body will not be as inflamed. Your pain level should go down. Works for 70% of the people who try it, go on to order more month after month, because it does work. If you want a free and natural way to ease your pain, get your life back, I want you to go to Relief Factor right now. Try their 3-week quick start, relieffactor.com. We pause for 10 seconds, station ID. Okay, so another one that I had to tweet out in the red hat was Cory Booker. Now, I was surprised to see him. He's running against Trump.
Yeah, this is going to burn him if he wins the nomination, the fact that he's wearing this MAGA hat.
Yeah. Now, he said that Donald Trump is only trying to pit Americans against each other. And it makes us less safe by threatening to release undocumented immigrants on the border into sanctuary cities.
Hmm. Why would it
be less safe?
You're acting as if these people could be a problem to
what
the country.
What a racist.
Well, I mean, he's a big Trump supporter. You see with a hat. So you understand where that comes from. Wow. Cory Booker. That's going to hurt him in the primary. You know, when you're looking to find a candidate to defeat Donald Trump, you don't pick one that is telling you the fundamental basis of his position on immigration.
That sanctuary cities and everywhere is less safe.
Why would they be less safe?
If you release undocumented immigrants from the border into the sanctuary cities.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what Donald Trump says.
He's saying he doesn't want Mexicans in these cities. That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. That's mm-hmm. what I'm hearing.
You could hear him say
it. What a racist.
Look at his eyes. They're very large and bulging. It tells the story.
I'm Spartacus, and I don't like Mexicans. Build the wall.
Wow.
Wow. That's
you
what that red hat does to you.
It does. You put that on and all of a sudden you're build a wall. Let's kill everybody south of the border. I'm surprised at Cher and Cory Booker that they would say these things. Now, the interesting thing here about Cory Booker is he is talking about how Donald Trump is pitting Americans against each other and using fear. Could we please play the full Cory Booker statement?
He likes to create friction sometimes to jumpstart, he says, a Congress that's not acting.
You say friction, I say he's trying to pit Americans against each other and make us less safe, because what you're seeing now...
So you take the threat seriously?
I take this. He is injecting fear into our country. And so if he was looking to solve a problem, he wouldn't be doing things to divide this country against itself. Beware of anybody that's trying to tell you to be afraid in the strongest country in the world, as opposed to showing our strength and our courage by pulling people together to find common sense solutions to solve this problem.
Stop for just a second. So I think what I hear Cory Booker say here is, be afraid of anyone who tells you be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And always, no, never say never, but always use always. I think that's what I'm hearing him say.
Yeah. I mean, I find this whole approach fascinating. Right now, they're doing this thing with Ilhan Omar where they're saying, oh, she's getting all these death threats and things are terrible for her because the president tweeted out a video of her comments where she said 9/11.
Using her words.
Yes. So, and where she said some people did something on 9/11, and then they show highlights or you know whatever, I don't know what you call them, low lights of 9/11, and then we're supposed to sit here and believe that she's getting lots of death threats because of that. Now, first of all, every single congressman, I'm sure, receives death threats. Ask Steve Scalise if he's ever received a death threat, perhaps one at the end of a barrel of a gun at a softball field. Ask them. Ask anybody who was on that field, 10% of the elected Republicans in Washington, if they've ever had death threats before as they were hiding in a dugout from a Bernie Sanders volunteer. So I get the idea that this is true and it's terrible. Obviously, it shouldn't be true. People do get death threats, and I'm sure she's had them just like everybody else. But the idea that you can sit here and say because Donald Trump tweeted a video about Ilhan Omar, she's getting death threats and we should all worry about that, when all you do all day is say that Donald Trump is destroying the country. Beyond that,
no.
When it comes to global warming, you're saying he's destroying the globe.
No, but wait. There's more. He's also being very divisive by dividing the country.
Yes.
And you should never divide the country. You should never be so divisive.
That's why you have to pick sides against Donald Trump.
That's why you have to pick sides. That's why, you know, that's the way white people will do you.
Mm.
That's why this group of racists over here against this good group of people over here.
You have to understand, Glenn, to some people, they're clinging to their God and their guns.
Exactly.
Right. I mean,
they will.
Of course, it's hypocrisy. But I mean, there is, whether you like Donald Trump or not, whether he's your favorite person or not, there is no person on earth as consistently vilified in the American media than Donald Trump. I mean, there's just no question about it. Every day, show after show after show after show is just saying how racist he is, how divisive he is, how he's destroying the world with global warming, how he's stealing money from poor people and giving it to rich people. We should go over the tax thing today. I mean, all of these things are said about him all the time. And then you're going to come out and say his tweet is the thing that's responsible for death threats? Can you imagine what the Secret Service is dealing with when it comes to death threats to the President of the United States right now? I mean, it is so disconnected from reality. You're on television bashing this guy every day and saying horrible things about him, and then trying to make the case that this one representative is in danger because of a tweet.
And people are smarter than this.
Are they?
I hope so. I'll show you what's coming in just a second, and the New York Times on taxes next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Stu!
Yes, Glenn!
Stu, today is the day!
Today's
the
day.
It's the last day! Blinds.com, we should have a marching band or something.
Mm.
It's Black Monday. The Black Friday, Black Saturday, Sunday, and Monday sale is going on. Today is the last day of this. Today, 45% off everything for just any schlub that just happens to come by Blinds.com. But you not a schlub, you get an extra 5%. So now that makes it, if you use the promo code Glenn, 50% off everything site-wide.
And if you're getting a tax rebate today, you may very well be able to get double the stuff that you want
for your house. I mean, it makes a huge difference, and we're getting into house selling season, but you know, it's more than just selling your house and improving it with Blinds.com. It's also about enjoying your house if you live there.
Amen. You're not going to get half off at the crack house today. No. Half, I don't know what. But you're going to get half off, and what a great way to invest your money back into your house. Half off everything. Blinds.com. Use the promo code Beck. Blinds.com. Today only. Last day of this sale. 50% off. Promo code Beck.
Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Get the details on the Biden special tonight. If you use the promo code Glenn, you'll get $10 off the site and also 50% off your current crack purchases.
It's amazing how things are changing. This is the Glenn Beck program. I think the average Democrat has moved beyond the Nancy Pelosi's and the Chuck Schumer's and the Bill Clinton's evidence. Upper West Side Beacon Theater. It's right there. It's a great theater. Bill Clinton is doing a speaking tour. His tickets mainly unsold. Lots of empty seats at the Beacon Theater. Not a big theater, and where he should be raking ticket sales in. I mean, you think of a better place?
No, if you were going to plant one Clinton event in America, you might put it in the Beacon Theater.
Correct. And and they had a hard time selling the tickets. Seats got down to like $19. To hear him. He was heckled during it. I mean, it's
less than 3,000 people as a capacity.
Yeah, it's this is interesting to see this go. Nancy Pelosi thinks she can put the genie back in the bottle. She was kind of very, very dismissive on 60 Minutes of AOC, saying there's only 5 followers of hers. That's not going to sit well. There's a war brewing inside of the Democratic Party. We'll talk to you about it a little bit more on tomorrow's broadcast. You don't want to miss that. But there's a war that is brewing inside. And will Joe Biden be able to survive? I don't know. Tonight, we show you part two of the scandals that you really need to pay attention to. He's got so many scandals in his past and all the stuff about the photos. They're not important. What is important is our national security. And today we'll show you the deals that he made with China that are hair-raising.
Mm.
Hair-raising. Also, 5 o'clock tonight on blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn to sign up.
Also, today is Charity Day. Today you're probably feeling your most charitable.
Right.
This is how you support other people. You pay your taxes. I bet you're feeling
feeling not only charitable, strangely charitable and so very patriotic.
Yes, super patriotic. This is basically July 4th part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you're feeling that way today. Mm-hmm. I know I am when the federal government comes into my account just sucks out a big chunk of it today.
Love it.
Excited about it.
Love it. Almost as much as I love it when they take it as when I read about how they wasted it.
Yeah, that's really fun too.
I love that.
When you realize, and they're like, "Oh, when Nancy Pelosi says there's just no scraps left in the cupboard." We can't cut anymore. And you get these, you know, what was the, you had one the other day, like it was like several billion dollars in just mistaken payments to people.
Oh, yeah.
Was it on the college thing? Was it?
It was on the Pell Grants.
Yeah, Pell Grants.
Pell Grants.
They screw it up.
Pay it and you've already paid it. Pay it again.
And every once in a while, you like to stop and think about it when they say like, oh yeah, they made a $10 million mistake, a minor mistake when it comes to the government of the United States. They made $10 million payment to someone who didn't deserve it, or it's just disappeared or whatever. And you stop and think about it, and that is going to be more money in taxes than you will pay in your entire life. Plus, probably everybody you know, every dollar they will pay in their entire life. And that's that little kicker story that it's not even on the front page of the paper, if there was one. I don't know if they print them anymore, but it's like the inner, like you're in the little tiny little section of like thehill.com, like, you know, several clicks in, and they'll be like, oh yeah, they've wasted $10 million on this. That's everything you'll work for your whole life plus a lot. And that is like, when you think about it, how just depressing that is.
These little mistakes, these little stories we bring up are real people's life's work going down the drain for nothing. Nothing.
You could have every tax dollar you've ever put in back, plus all the tax dollars of everybody that you know back, and then some if they hadn't made that one mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And we blow it off
all the time. We don't
we
even
blow it off.
Barely even worth a mention. I mean, you think they every year they release that government waste report Republicans mm-hmm. do that show all the quirky things that they've spent money on. You know, they spent $500,000 on this story to see if snails can fly. And like it's all this weird stuff. And you're like, oh, that's a funny kicker story that day. Those are people's life's work going down the drain over and over and over again every year. And nobody notices. I mean, you want to know how bad taxes are. And I think it's we're at the point where we need to start making these arguments and making them more profound. Because, I mean, listen to this. This is the New York Times today. And I just did this just a second ago, now that as I'm talking about this. Listen, this says the gap between perception and reality on the tax cut appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle class tax increase. This
wait
is the
minute,
New York Times telling you this.
This is the Times.
Yes. They are telling you that it was a misleading effort by liberals that make people not understand this.
Long sustained.
Yeah. We're seeing now polls as low as 17% of people believe they got a tax cut when the real number is well north of 60% and probably even higher than that. We don't know have the final numbers yet. They say the effort began in the fall of 2017 when Republicans prepared their first draft of this tax bill. And one tax policy center, the Independent Tax Policy Center, predicted it could raise taxes on nearly a third of middle class taxpayers. Now, that's not the bill that passed. It continued through Trump's signing of the law, even though the group's model showed the same group that initially said it would raise taxes on people. The group's model showed that the revised bill would raise taxes on relatively few in the middle class. After the law went to effect, Democrats played down those estimates and instead highlighted projections that most Americans' taxes are set to increase in 2026 after the individual tax cuts are scheduled to expire. So they're saying your taxes are going to go up after the tax cuts go away, which of course is true. But that's them. That's their tax. Their tax rates, which are higher.
This is the amazing thing about the New York Times. At times, they tell the absolute truth.
Yeah.
At times, they'll disagree with what they just printed in the op-ed.
Yes, you know the op-ed will tell the exact lies will be echoed 100 times by all of their op-ed columns.
Correct.
Just a couple.
But sometimes they do great reporting. It's such a weird thing. If you are really, truly just being a hack for the left, how does this person survive?
Yeah. It's a mix. I mean, I think that's important. That is important to note.
It is.
I mean, a lot of times when we're talking about real conservative arguments, you know, the basis for that, the source of that reliable information is the New York Times. Because mm-hmm. it's great to go to the left and say, this is the New York Times I'm showing you. This is them saying it, not me, not in National Review, not The Blaze, not Breitbart. Here it is, right here, New York Times. They say now that 3/4 of Democrats say they did not think they got a tax cut from the law. And the overall share of Americans who said that they got a tax cut just rose slightly since the initial argument. Experts are divided on whether the tax cut law was a good idea, but there is little disagreement on this core point. Most people got a tax cut. The Tax Policy Center estimates that 65% of people paid less under the law and only 6% paid more. The Joint Committee on Taxation, Congress's nonpartisan team of tax analysts, found that every income group would see a tax cut on average. So did the Institute of Taxation on Economic Policy, which is a left-leaning think tank. They went even further. They said every income group in every state would pay less on average.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And what's interesting about that is people aren't realizing these tax cuts because they say a relatively small amount. Some people got about $780 middle class. And they say, well, you know, $780 is nice. So you'd like to get $780. But, you know, it was a few dollars in bi-weekly checks. And I think And I just said this myself. I'm mad that I'm paying a giant chunk today. I have a giant tax bill to pay today, unfortunately. But the truth is, I should be happy about that because my money was in my hands for longer. I was able to invest it. I was able to hold on to it. I was able to make interest. I did not make an interest-free loan to the government.
You know what's crazy is we use the federal government as a bank.
Yeah.
And it's the worst bank ever.
And we do the same thing with Social Security. It's right. The same idea.
We look at the federal government as a bank and we hope we get a tax return. Well, you're getting the money you paid in, but you're not saving. You're not getting any interest on that. So they're not paying you interest.
No.
So you could have put that same amount in the bank and said, I'm going to take less every month. And I'm going to put it in the bank so it can earn interest. I'm going to put it in a CD. I'm going to put it in something safe, but it'll at least get 5% interest. And then come tax day, I will take that money and I'll cash it out and I'll pay exactly how much I need to pay. Instead, we don't do that. We let the government take all of our money. And then when they give us a year later after holding it and using it, then they give it back to us without any interest and we celebrate.
Yeah.
Like it's a gift. Like the whole thing is a gift. Like I didn't know I had any of that.
Yeah. I think
it's insane.
I want to say it was H&R Block last year that did an ad campaign about like it's tax refund day. Like there's this great holiday. It's like it's not a holiday. They've been stealing your money for a year. I mean, this is we've been saying this point for how long? I mean, legitimately 30 years.
Reagan.
Reagan said it. He said if you at the end of the year. If people had to just write a check, then this would be totally different. Why don't we push for that as actual policy? Why we always talk about it. We always mention it.
I don't know. You know, because...
Make it quarterly checks or monthly checks or whatever it is.
Every time you get a paycheck. Every time you get a paycheck, it's not withheld. You have to write it out.
Write a check and send it in.
You have to write a check.
It's automatically, you know, you got to be able... There has to be some action taken because it's just like your point with immigration. If we... Take all the sanctuary cities and take illegal immigrants and spread them out across. There will be some impact to these cities, but most people might not notice the big impact.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it with a bunch of buses and they all arrive at the same time and you plop them down and everyone's going to notice, you do it with a lot of fanfare. This is what this is. It's fanfare. Make people notice what they're doing. Make people accountable to the actual people and the money that they're spending because people don't realize it. You know, we say this with health insurance, too. People don't know what the prices are.
This is why they developed this system.
Mm-hmm.
They developed this system because they knew you would revolt if you actually had to do it yourself. So they've made it. What thing does the government make easy for you? The government make anything easy for you?
You can't get it's impossible to do almost anything when it comes to
anything.
Government.
Except
give them your tax dollars.
They will take those tax dollars. Now, at the end of the year, it's a pain in the ass.
But that's to get your money back a lot of times.
Correct. But to pay your taxes every single paycheck, they make that so easy. And they take that burden away from you.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, next weekend is Easter, which spring is on the way, man. And this is the time where people sell their house or buy a new house. So if you're looking to sell or you're looking to buy, realestateagentsitrust.com. Now, this isn't just for selling your house. Let's say you're being transferred or you're moving to another state. And if you're moving from California, Texas sucks, man. You should not move here. I'll tell you that if you're moving from California. But that's just me. Realestateagentsitrust.com will help you find the right neighborhood. So if you're moving in from California to, say, to Texas, they might find that beautiful, perfect neighborhood in Oklahoma City. And it's right across the border, so you're really close, but it's much better there, I'm sure. The real estate agent that will help you find a house is going to be the one that will help find the right house that you can make into a home. If you're selling your home, realestateagentsitrust.com, know your area. We'll find the best person in your area to help sell your home fast, on time, for the most amount of money. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. Last week, I took you through several examples of how Joe Biden apparently helped his close family members secure amazing business deals.
while he was vice president. One of those included Joe Biden's younger brother, James. He became an executive of a new construction company. Now, what's weird about this construction company is, you know, when they hired the brother of the vice president and he became an executive, he had, well, I was going to say years and years experience with construction, but he actually had zero. He had zero experience with construction. And then right after this brand new company comes together and James Biden is part of this construction company, they, surprise, surprise, managed to snag a $1.5 billion contract from the U.S. government. Isn't that weird? You'd think that the United States government would look for somebody who had experience, not a new company that's not done anything, but an experienced company that hired people on their board that had experience. But no, that's not what we were looking for. We wanted one that had connections to a vice presidential family member. So that's just the son, or I'm sorry, that's just the brother. We told you last week about Hunter, which is the son. Tonight, more on Hunter Biden and the deals that he has made with China that are unbelievable. Here he is, this guy who just starts his own company, kind of like, boy, this family's amazing. Kind of like the uncle that had no experience at all, zero experience in construction. His son also has zero experience. He starts a new company and he gets an economic deal from China that not even the experts at Goldman Sachs could get.
That shows how good he was. They made the right move.
Wow.
Good pick.
Yeah. Wait until you see it tonight. By the way, one of the New York Times called James Biden, the brother of the vice president, and said, hey, what about this guy? He said, I have nothing to say. This is a quote. I have nothing to say. I don't want to be dragged into this anymore. Dragged into what? Dragged into what? Tonight, you'll see, only on theblazetv.com/Glenn, promo code Glenn.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.